And all of a sudden, bro, I get a knock at the door. And this is, I don't know how the fuck you, it's super secure. You have to have the code to get in everywhere. This dude didn't live here. Motherfucking Cat Williams is at my doorstep. Random. Didn't call no one. Didn't say nothing. Just comes in, starts smoking, and just fucking acting a fool. Welcome back to What's Burning. Some interesting things happened this past weekend, Jack. And we'll start with the Canelo plant fight. Canelo knocked him out in the 11th round. What'd you see in that fight?
It was a good fight. Caleb Plant came to fight. He said he was going to go in there and stay in there with, and not run the whole fight, and he did that. I think in order to be a great champ like Canelo, you got to not only be able to punch him and hurt him, but you got to be in great shape. Canelo was standing up between rounds, showing he was in better shape and showing that why he's the champion. Caleb Plant was getting tired. He put his hands down and got rocked, and it was over after that. But shout out to Canelo, man. He definitely did what he came to do.
Yeah, Canelo pressed the line the whole time, took the fight to Plant. Bullied him. Plant definitely, you know, showed a lot. But to me, I think the question coming in was, how had Plant really, really fought this type of level of competition? Obviously, Canelo arguably is the best fighter in the game. So, you know, took him 11 rounds. Canelo finally warmed down. But I agree, Canelo was in excellent cardio shape. You know, he didn't look like he got tired the whole entire fight and ended up with the 11 round knockout. Here we go, taking a look at the week ahead. The very impressive Miami Heat head out west. They're at the top of the tie for the top of the Eastern Conference right now. They'll come out west and take on the Lakers, Clippers, and Utah. Jack, what are you expecting to see from this team, or think they'll learn about themselves on this West Coast swing?
It's going to be good for them, but one thing I love about this team is they're showing that they're in mid-season shape already from the beginning. You can tell that those guys gelled in training camp, and they really worked in training camp to come to start the season off in great shape. And I think that's why they're having a lot of success. But they're going to go out on this West Coast and really get to test themselves, see what kind of identity they have. But I think they'll be ready. I think they'll come out over 500.
Yeah, I definitely think they will as well. They play Denver and then hit those three teams we mentioned. First of all, shout out Tyler Hero. I think he had an off season too. Came out the gate strong in his first season. Last year had a down year, but is leading all scores coming off the bench this season. Someone he personally said, you know, I need to be mentioned in that Luka and Trae Young conversation. I'm not sure if he's quite there yet, but he's definitely putting up tremendous numbers and a very valuable player to the Miami Heat. They made a lot of solid offseason acquisitions, and they look really good to me. And to keep it real, I don't really see the Lakers as a measuring stick right now. You know, they're still trying to find their footing. Bron's been out. They've been losing to some bad teams. You know, Paul George is playing his heart out, but the Clippers really don't have a lot. Utah is a tough team. So I expect them to possibly, I think they got a good chance to, you know, to sweep this West Coast swing. So Miami is looking good, and I'm excited to see what they can do. Obviously, shout out Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker and the rest of the guys out there. But again, I really like what they did in the offseason to set themselves up for this season. Continuing to look ahead, we got the Chicago Bulls at the Golden State Warriors. Bulls are my surprise team of the season. They're off to a good start at 6-3. The Warriors have the best record in the NBA at 8-1. They're leading in pretty much all statistical categories. Jack, thoughts on this matchup?
You know, the Bulls getting off to a great start, but the Warriors, they're a team that know each other, that have been together. The only thing they added was another defensive player in Gary Payton Jr. But this team been gelling together. They've been together a couple of years. They're just waiting to get Klay back. They're rolling right now, and I don't see them not winning this game, especially with the way Steph's playing.
Steph's playing great. Draymond's got some new energy. Obviously, I think Andre Iguodala back in the mix, whether it's actual numbers he's putting up or just his experience back on that team, really helps them. Shout out Gary Payton Jr., man. I'm seeing a lot of highlights from him. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded player, but he's athletic as a motherfucker. He's out here dunking on people, bringing crowd to that, bringing joy and energy to that crowd. Again, we like what the Bulls are doing, though. You know, both DeMar and LaVine are at about 26 points a game. Like this young team, still trying to figure it out. Obviously, got off to a hot start. They've come back down to earth a little bit, but I like what they're doing. This Golden State team is still without Klay, still without Wiseman, but is one of the top team in the game right now. There was an interview this week, past week with Klay, and he talked about, you know, where he's at in recovery, and also gave a lot of love to Coach Mark Jackson. We kind of all know that he was the one that kind of started this foundation, and Coach Kerr came in and kind of took it to a next level. But I love to see Klay show Mark Jackson love, because he's kind of been just lost as far as the coaching carousel goes since he departed the Warriors. Jack, the way this team is playing now, they're expected to add Klay and Wiseman. in the not too distant future. Is this a team that has a chance to contend for a title?
Of course. Of course. They still got their core guys. And especially if Klay comes back in the form that we all know Klay can play it. I think that's really the deciding factor. What is Klay going to be when he comes back? And we all know what he can be, and that's what we expect. So if that happens, this team can definitely be a championship contender.
No, I agree. It's been a humbling experience, I think, this last 2 years for this team, coming off the dominance they came off of and then have been riddled by injury. But like you said, they kept their core together. And again, I think bringing Andre Iguodala back, the numbers may not show, but he's just a security blanket for that team. Getting Klay healthy, getting Wiseman healthy, some new young talent. I really like Jordan Poole, too. This motherfucker kid could play out of Michigan, becoming one of the top young scorers in the game, man. So this team is back, loaded. And excited to see what they can be once they get fully healthy. Next up on the radar, presented to you by DraftKings. We're going to check out some of the top rookies this season, statistic-wise, in the league. Starting off with Jalen Green, odds-on favorite, 3-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Next up, Scottie Barnes, 3.5-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Evan Mobley, 5.5-1 to win Rookie of the Year. And then Chris Duarte, 8-1 odds to win Rookie of the Year. All these guys are putting up really solid numbers. Scottie Barnes is leading with 16, almost 17 points a game and nearly 9 rebounds. But all these guys have been playing really well. Each have a unique skill set. What are your thoughts on these four guys? And do you have a guy you like out of this group to win Rookie of the Year?
I like Jalen Green. And even though he's not averaging the most points right now, you got guys like Scottie Barnes. He's having a great rookie season. But at the same time, Siakam's not in, so he's getting way more shots. He's hurt right. Siakam's hurt right now, so he's getting more shots than he would normally get. Mobley and Chris, they're on teams where they're getting an opportunity to be the number one guy. Jalen Green is still sharing the spotlight with Porter. Porter's still doing his thing. He's really leading that team. So if he was leading that team, I think he'll be averaging 18-20 right now. So I'm pulling with Jalen Green.
Yeah, I mean, I love Scottie Barnes' toughness and edge and energy he plays with. Evan Mobley is something special. I got a chance to see him play a lot in college out here. Chris Duarte was someone I wasn't very familiar with, but this kid has kind of took the league by storm. But I agree. I think the flashes you see in Jalen Green, you see flashes of greatness, like absolute greatness. Super athletic, can shoot the ball, can handle the ball. He's this new wave of these young athletic kids that are, you know, one and done, could have probably became straight to the league. So it's definitely been a fun, exciting rookie class, but I would agree with you. If I had to pick one, if I was betting, I'd take Jalen Green. Next up, Secure the Bag, presented by Moneyline. Just in, Jaylen Brown is out 1 to 2 weeks, but we're going to start with him. He signed a nice 5-year deal that expired this year. He recently expressed brand freedom and his ability to kind of wear whatever shoes he wants to kind of find what works for him. Jack, the shoe game is way different from when we came in the game initially. You never, it was either black or white shoes, period, when we first came in the game in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now you're seeing all kinds of wild types of shoes, wild colors. There's still a handful of guys that have their own shoe. I'll name a few of them real quick. Obviously, LeBron, KD, Giannis, Kyrie, Paul George, Steph with the Under Armour, Joel Embiid as well, Harden, Dame, and Donovan. Trey and D Rose and Adidas, Kawhi in those Air New Balances, the Jordan brand as Luka, Russ, Zion, CP3, and Tatum. Obviously, LaMelo just dropped his new shoe, and we can't forget about our favorite Klay Thompson, who's making a lot of bread from Anta. What are your thoughts? You were an Adidas guy, and then you were able to get brand Jordan. It's still a deal post-career that I know you're enjoying. Talk to where we are with sneakers and the sneaker culture and the sneaker game in the league.
I think that it's at an all-time high. You know, when we was growing up, you know, everybody wanted to wear Jordans. You know what I mean? That was the shoe. You know, nobody wasn't really wearing Converse or nothing like that. I know really no other brands now. You know, with Nike really being the leader with Kyrie and LeBron's and KD's, you know, I see all the kids wearing and PG wearing all their shoes these days, especially the different color ones, you know, all the different colorways. And I think that's why I think it's at an all-time high, because everybody's interested in their own swag. Everybody got their own style. Everybody coming with their own colorway. But for the most part, the youngsters are really bringing this to the way it is right now. I really don't have nothing to do with the guys in the NBA to me. It's really the youngsters, the AAU circuit, the high school circuit. Those guys are setting the trends. You know, all those kids that's all over YouTube and Baller's Life, those young kids are setting the trends with the shorts and the shoes and stuff like that. So, but the culture's at an all-time high. Shout out to Team Jordan. You dig?
I think what has really helped this boom and the reason why Kyrie has the number one selling shoe when I think other brands or custom shoes are starting to copy is the colorways. The colorways are what getting people into the shoe. Kyrie, I think, if I'm not mistaken, has the number one selling shoe because he's the one bouncing all these crazy colors off. Now you see PG doing it. Now you see KG doing it. There's a handful of guys that really come out with these eccentric colors. And like you said, this next generation, they're not even so much on the type of shoe as much as, you know, these colors are crazy. You know what I mean? The crazy colors are Kyrie, PG, and KD. So that's why you see those guys at the top of the list. Obviously, LaMelo just came out with his new shoe, and it's a crazy color. So I think colors are what dominate the game now. Because like we said, when we first came in the game, it was either black or white. There was nothing in between. It was either black or white. You know, it was the black and white socks. So obviously, with a signature shoe, that's opening other lines of revenue for these guys. And you really don't have to have a signature shoe. I mean, I think today the game is wide open as far as players representing their brand and being a brand. Like Jay-Z said a while ago, like, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. These kids these days are their own business, their own entities, and the lines of money are coming through. Shout out Moneyline, because these young kids are securing the bag. We'd like to welcome to this week's episode of What's Burning, NBA champion Fred VanVleet, as he is trying to find his new footing as the leader of the Toronto Raptors. Welcome in today our What's Burning guest, Toronto Raptors point guard Fred VanVleet. Welcome to the show, bro.
Man, thanks for having me.
No problem. So going from undrafted to the leader of your current team, what's the mindset of that?
I just try to never forget like where I came from. So it's like just a constant chip on my shoulder. It's actually funny most days, to be honest with you. Like, y'all know how it is being that last guy on the team. You've been in a million training camps. Those guys that come in, that got to shoot on the side hoops and all that with no right. Coaches get their own rebounds. Like, that was me. So it's funny, like, every day to go from that, that was only 6 years ago, to being a guy who's, you know, who all the weight kind of falls on my shoulders for how we do this year. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing, and it's a huge challenge, but I wouldn't want it any other way.
Now you got Facts. Five motherfuckers waiting to rebound to pass you the ball. They can't wait.
I got too many coaches on the court with me now.
Right. Well, obviously getting a chance to win a championship to where you guys are now, I think the word rebuilding is wrong because you guys still have a lot of talent. But from where you came from, winning a championship a few years ago, talk to me just about the current team. Obviously, your coach, Nick Nurse. Pascal hasn't been healthy yet this year, but Gary Trent Jr., OG, who's leading the scoring team in scoring, Scotty, who's one of the top rookies in the game, and then yourself. Like, what is the atmosphere and the energy around your team right now?
We're just excited. We're excited. We're confident. We're one of those teams that you don't really want to play against, because if you're a top team, you're kind of looking at us like you don't really know what we're going to be. But when we get out there, we're playing hard. We're playing together. And it's not, you know, you can't take a night off against us. So I think that gives us a good chance on most nights. And it's just a process. Guys is learning. You know, I'm just trying to be the leader and not really focusing on, you know, my stats or whatever. So, like, you got OG leading and scoring. Scotty is having the ball probably more than any rookie right now. And we just got a lot of young guys that's getting good experience that's going to kind of carry over towards the end of the year.
I got a question, though, because you guys, you know, having a fairly young team, you guys have an interesting record right now where you guys are 4-0 on the road. Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's a sign of a team who's really locked in. But, I haven't had the same success at home. But winning on the road is really tough these days. So what do you contribute that to? I mean, that's obviously a sign that you guys got a solid team.
Yeah, just what you said, like, just being locked in. I think we all on the same page. Like, we so young and inexperienced that most of the guys on the team don't even really know how to question a coach or, like, you know, really have that point of reference to even second guess anything. So when we go on the road, you know, you got shoot around, then you go to the meal, then you lock in, you go to the bus, and before you notice on the court. And a lot of times when young players get when they're a little nervous, they just lean on the guy next to them. So, you know, me, I just try to keep everybody calm, and Nick's doing a great job. The coach is doing a great job with the game plan. So we've been locked in on the road, but we need to figure out, you know, how to do that shit at home.
Facts. I'm a fan of the underdogs. I always root for the underdog. And, you know, me and Matt damn near got drafted at the end. You same way. So to see you being, you know, the man of your team right now, it's a joy to me, because I know the work it takes to get there. But thoughts on the evolution of the game and the point guards in the game today?
Oh, man, the game's in an amazing place. I think, again, it's a testament to all the guys that come before us. So, like you said, you know, you and Matt, being who you were and just being so outspoken and being bold and standing on your own, like, that allowed guys like me to be able to walk into this facility and be the same person from day one that I am now. And then as far as the point guards go, it's just like, it just keep getting better. And every time we think that we reached the highest heights, like there's another layer that's added on to it. And the one thing that I'm noticing, you know, now as I'm 6 years in, it's just like, these young dudes, they don't care, bro. Like, they don't they don't care. They not checking for none of the OGs. Like, they respect the game and what come before them, but when they out there on that court, them guys is fearless. And I think that's a good place for the game to be in, because they're going to be able to take it to the next level.
Facts. As the NBA celebrates the NBA 75, what's one of your best memories of the NBA?
Obviously, it would be winning the championship. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a few points in my memory of where it was like they told me I made the team, right? Like, I can remember that night like yesterday where they said, you're on a 15-man roster. And then winning the championship, just because, like, that's the highest heights you could get to as a basketball player in life. I've never won an MVP or nothing like that, but just like as far as a championship, you know, that whole year, that 2.5 months of what it takes after the season's over in the playoffs, the ups and downs, that was a crazy moment. And then just being able to celebrate all summer and be able to live it up, like that was the top of the top. You know, that's the top of the mountain. So that's probably my best memory.
Hey, celebrating in Toronto is different.
Yeah, we had a nice little tour. So we won in the Bay, went to Vegas, then we came home to Toronto, and it was a movie.
And then you got that the dude with that OVO owl behind you leading the way.
He don't make it much better, man. That dude he's a different animal.
Hell yeah. Make sure you guys enjoyed this week's episode of All the Smoke featuring our brother, fam, Jamal Crawford, dropping this Thursday, 11-11, only on Showtime Basketball. Enjoy the teaser.
Tell me about the dynamic of having Ron and Elton Brown on the same team with you.
Oh, man, I got some story. Let me tell you a story. Oh, my God. Let me tell you a story, Ron. And you know, both y'all know. So we're playing, and Ron sometimes could, you know, Ron could get on one.
Yeah.
And he came, but he always liked me. He always took to me. No matter what he was doing, he talked to me. So he came to practice that day. And he said, "Ma, I'm on one today." He said, "They brought in somebody, a new player. I'm on one today. Watch this." It was a 10-day guy that had nothing to do with Ron. He wasn't a threat to Ron. None of that. He said, "I'm on one today, Ma." He said, "I'm on one today." I said, "All right." I said, "What you gonna do? You'll see. You're on one." So he would start, he would scream, He'd run around and scream, Four times, blocking people, fouling people, hard shit. Tim Floyd got in his face. I've never told the story. Tim Floyd got in his face and said, "What's all this?" He said, all on him too. I said, Ron was out of control, bro. Like, but I loved him. Shout out Ron Artest. He put me on Panera Bread too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's random as fuck.
Hey, he put me on Panera Bread.
Hey, talk about Elton Brand, because before he tore his Achilles, Elton Brand was one of the best power forwards in the game, hands down.
Without a doubt.
He was
a walking 20-10. Mm-hmm. Like they showed me like his rookie of the year campaign, and they had a brand of soap. It was like a soap box, and they had Brand on it. 20-10 on it, the one you can depend on. Like he was a walking 20-10. He's the one you can depend on. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 20-10 no matter what. He just knew how to get it. Like, he was a beast. Workaholic, always works. always was improving, and he was smart. He was very cerebral as well with his talent. So he was, it was a problem. But people would never know about Elton Brand like they should in this era, you know?
Right. Shout out Elton Brand, man. Shout out EB. He's over there. Over there working in the front office with the Sixers right now, but that motherfucker was a killer, bro.
Oh, he was a killer.
Fan questions. Jack, you ready? Coming from our co-worker, colleague, the truth, Paul Pierce. Is Ja Morant a top five point guard in the NBA right now in your mind?
Top seven. It's kind of hard when you go top five. You got Dame, Steph, Kyrie, Russ. And he Luka, might be
Luka.
Dave. Oh yeah. That's why I say he's top eight. He top eight. Not top five yet. Not quite.
I mean, I love what Morant's been doing, man. I think he's on a mission this year. You could tell he definitely got better in the offseason. And in the next two or three years, I don't even know about top five. I'm thinking like top two or three. Because this kid is coming with a vengeance. He's a dog. There's no holes in the offensive game. He plays hard, and he's got, you know, this young team playing well. And that's how you kind of measure a point guard when it's all said and done, is what can he do for his team? And he's doing a lot for his team. So definitely I think he's right on the outside of the top five right now, respectfully. But I think in the next two or three years, he's going to be a 1-2 conversation for best point guard in the league.
Next fan question at VV.Biachi3. Who are y'all favorite top three young players in the game right now? Shout out from Brooklyn.
Oh, that's a tough question, man. There's so many good young players right now. Man, I like Anthony Edwards a lot. I like Jalen Green a lot. I like LaMelo. I like Davion Mitchell out there in SAC. I haven't seen a young kid come in and play with this kind of defensive mindset before, and he also has an offensive game, and then obviously few years in the game, but I'm really a fan of Miles Bridges and the way he's been continuing to get better every year. So I can't give you a top three. I think I just gave you five. Jack, who are a few guys you follow?
I will have to go with Edwards as well, LaMelo, and I have to go with Jalen Green as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young, this young crop of players, man. Is I was talking to this with my homie the other day. The athleticism and skill level is crazy as hell. Like, these little motherfuckers are coming in skilled and jumping out the gym, man. So it's a beautiful thing to watch. Next up, Brandon X Butts. Top three comedians you'd want to smoke with. Ooh, good call.
Oh, that's easy for me. I didn't smoke with one of them, but I think I want to have him again, smoke with him again. I'm going to go with Mike Epps, Dave Chappelle, and Martin Lawrence.
Who'd you already smoke with? Mike Epps?
I smoke wine. He's the character.
Mine is crazy. Mine is funny because I've got a chance to smoke with this dude a few times, but I'll tell you a quick story. I remember one time when I was playing for the Clippers and I was living in Marina Del Rey, and we was smoking, watching SportsCenter or something, and all of a sudden, bro, I get a knock at the door, and this is, I don't know how the fuck, it's super secure. You have to have the code to get in everywhere. This dude didn't live here. Motherfucking Cat Williams is at my doorstep. Random. Didn't call no one, didn't say nothing, just comes in, starts smoking, and just fucking acting a fool. So Cat Williams is one of my guys. I've spoke with Dave Chappelle too, got him super high one time before he had a show in San Francisco, and that's when he started talking about rapper weed and shit. So got a chance to smoke with Dave. Who would be my third? I want to do someone like maybe like Eddie Murphy, a legend in the game. I'd love to smoke with Eddie and kind of just pick his brain. I mean, he's been a legend in this game for so long. So those would probably be three guys I would want to smoke with.
Yep, solid. Next fan question. SoCal King 32. Where were both of y'all welcome to the NBA moments at All the Smoke? We see you, SoCal. We see you paying attention, bro.
Welcome to the NBA moment. Mine was a grind. My welcome to the NBA moment was getting drafted and being cut. I think that was the business of the game. And I had to go to the G League now? It was a D League back then. And really got me on my grind. So, I mean, my welcome to the league moment wasn't necessarily a playing situation. It was being drafted and then cut and having a grind to get back.
My welcome to the NBA moment was, I would say, two. One, starting my getting drafted, of course, and going overseas, the little grind like Matt said. But starting my first NBA game in 2000 with the Nets, and also playing in the rookie All-Star game. That was my welcome to the NBA moments.
Next up, TXK.R, What is the NBA's biggest what if? Good question.
For me, I think the biggest what if was if Tim Duncan would have went to Orlando.
Ooh, with T-Mac and Grant.
With T-Mac and Grant Hill. I think that would have transformed the league a totally different way than what it were, way it ended up being or the way it is now. If that would have happened, I think T-Mac would have definitely been looked at different. He would definitely been in the top 75 where he belonged. And I think Grant Hill have him a chip.
I like that. My biggest what is if they didn't block the CP3 trade to the Lakers at the time. Because that would have put CP as our starting point guard, Kobe as our two, Meta at our three, Paul Gasol at the four, Bynum at the five, me coming off the bench, Lamar Odom coming off the bench, Steve Blake coming off the bench, Shannon Brown coming off the bench. We definitely could have got a couple rings, I feel like, with that group. But the league blocked that shit, and we'll never know. But it would have been beautiful to see CP3 and Kobe play together because they were such competitors. And you remember when CP on the show, they used to always talk before the All-Star game, like, fuck the all, like, we're trying to go out here and really hoop. So I would have loved to get them to see them play every night with each other. Good question.
Hey, I got another one, though. What if, after we won the championship in 2003, Jason Kidd and Tony Parker was free agents, and Greg Popovich was trying to chase Jason Kidd to San Antonio for Tony Parker? What if that would have happened?
Ooh. And that's Jay Kidd still in his prime, too.
He was in his prime. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that would have been scary.
With Ginobili.
I think but Tony Parker worked out fine for him. Would they get four rings?
Five, I think. Yeah, four, five? Four. Yeah, Tim got five. At Jay Homage, would Buddy Hield be a better fit for the Lakers than Westbrook? Come on, bro.
I want to let you answer this question first.
Fuck no! That's my answer.
I don't know if he would be a better fit, but I like getting a chance to see Sacramento a lot now, obviously working for them. Buddy Hield is a motherfucking scorer, man, and I think he's kind of locked in now. So don't be surprised when Buddy Hield's in the top five for sixth man of the year. This dude's averaging like almost 19 points a game, is a fucking sniper. But I think this L.A. thing is going to be straight. I think people are so, especially in L.A., is hurry, 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 instead of understand there's a real process when you're putting this many stars and this many new pieces together. But again, as we said last year, if this team is healthy, there'll be a problem. I think of late, Russ has been playing. I mean, I think he had one, the last game was bad, two games before. But outside of that, I think he's playing really well, man. So I'm excited to see this team once they gel. I don't think we're going to see the best Lakers until post-All-Star break. Closing thoughts, shout out to my former coach, our former coach, and prior guest on this show, Doc Rivers, as he reaches 1,000 career wins. And despite all the outside noise over there with Ben Simmons, that team's been able to focus and get off to an 8-2 start. So, man, definitely want to show Doc some love, man. Getting 1,000 win is no small accomplishment. And congrats, man.
Yeah, shout out Doc, man. Definitely deserve it. Getting off to a great start with all the drama going on. Not many coaches that have done that got 1,000 wins. So shout out to the Diggy Diggy Doc, y'all.
Best of All the Smoke Season 2 is back on Showtime. Jack, we on the real TV, Showtime TV. We doing some things. NBA Icon Editions. We dropped Allen Iverson last week. This week will be our brother Kevin Garnett dropping 11-11 this Thursday. 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific. Also, don't forget to catch the Kevin Garnett Anything Is Possible premieres this Friday, November 12th, only on Showtime. Hey, make sure you guys check out behind the scenes, bloopers, wild outtakes, just the shit that goes on with me and Jack without editing. You guys will definitely laugh and enjoy that. Catch up from the beginning of this season to where we're at now and all the crazy shit in between. Got some new heat coming for you guys. Make sure you guys stay tuned. And that's a wrap. You can catch What's Burning available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball. Peace.